So today we are going to learn, I'm calling this the Holy Spirit as umpire. You're looking at this going, okay, this is a picture of baseball. What does that have to do with the book of Acts and even Acts chapter 16? We'll get to that in a little bit here. But in Acts 16, I'm going to flash to a map here just to follow along. And I color-coded this in red here so you can easily track along. By the way, when you're studying through, again, we're talking about context. When you look at the geographical context of what's going on here in the book of Acts, what might take you and I just a blip, just not even a minute to read through in one paragraph, you could realize this is a big area that we're told in verse 6, the Apostle Paul, now in his second missionary journey, they're going through this region that is called Phrygia. It's not a city, it's a region. Here on the map you see on the upper right, the white areas are regions. The black with the dot, those would be cities. So they went through this whole region of Phrygia. They went through the region of Galatia. You guys remember a book of the Bible in the New Testament that has that name? What is that? Galatians. Okay, so Galatians was not written to a city, but a region to remember to counter that one doctrine of should you be circumcised in order to receive eternal salvation. Let's move this out of the way here. So they went through this region, and notice it says here in verse 6 that they were forbidden by who? By the Holy Spirit. They're forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So again, I color-coded this. You can look at this. They, on the map, they went through that whole region. You and I can read this. Not even a minute it takes to read this in verse 6. But this would have taken a long time. This is very big. This is big, way bigger than New York City. So they went through these regions, but yet the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, wouldn't allow them to go to Asia to preach the word of God. Now, real quickly, let me define what Asia is. This is not Asia today like you think Asia, the Far East, like China, Japan, you know, that area of Asia. When it says Asia here, this is where it's great to see a map. This is speaking of what we call today Turkey or Asia Minor. Okay, you might recall, and you see some of the names there in that region. You might recall, like in Revelation, the letter to those seven churches. You see Ephesus there. You see Laodicea. Okay, and so forth. So Paul was not the person picked by God to be there at that time in that area. He just was not. But one of the things I want you and I to consider is how are you and me, how are we, when God tells you no? Have you ever prayed and God actually told you no? Show of hands, does that happen? It happens to me all the time. We look for the yes. Sometimes we're like, no? That can't be you, God. You got to be for these things that certainly you put it in my heart. The Lord rebuke you. And God might tell you, don't rebuke me. Sometimes God will say no. And I want us to look at this because this is a real deal question. How are you and I when the Holy Spirit is trying to not just direct you, but correct you? Parents, you understand, right? We not only want to give guidance to our kids, sometimes you got to tell, oh, knock it off. Now, don't do that. Don't go there. But how are you and I when the Holy Spirit, whether we're praying or you're fellowshipping with his people or you're reading the word and you read something, are you like this as you're reading it? Let me quickly go. No, speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. He says, I am. I'm trying to. I'm guilty of that. Is that anybody else? It's not hard to hear from God. I think it's harder to obey God. Amen? So we could learn quite a bit from the Apostle Paul, not just the things he did, but also the things he did not do. So God is actually chronicling for you and me how the Apostle Paul pretty much is showing quite a bit of maturity in his Christianity, let's just say, where I could learn, we could learn from. So they were forbidden by, as it says, the Holy Spirit. This is not showing that it was a big roadblock. They're going across a bridge and all of a sudden the bridge collapsed. because you know what he would do, just like you and me? I'm going to go around it. So I want you to ponder this as you read this, because oftentimes these little verses that are here in Acts 16, I think the Holy Spirit is trying to put them here, plant them here, so that you and I, we need to plant this thought in our hearts and minds that God wants to speak to you. Amen? Who here wants to hear from God? Is that any of you? We want to, right? After all, we pray to Him. Sometimes, though, we seek Him in prayer and read His Word and fellowship with His people. Sometimes He'll say no. But again, how are we going to be when He actually tells you no? Not just the yeses. We know we pray, right? I mentioned that book, Revelation. Oh, Lord, You're the one in Revelation that says that You open the doors that no man can close. But we forget the opposite. That sometimes He'll close a door that no one can open. And sometimes we try to go around it. Sometimes it's like, I'm not going to accept a no. And there's a little bit of that in all of us. There's a little bit in that. There's a lot of that in me sometimes. Is there anybody else? So oftentimes we pray, don't be surprised when God answers. Or when you're that body in motion, maybe going on a missions journey like Paul did, and when he's actually telling you and showing you, no, I don't want you to go this route. So in this passage and during this time, it's good for us to remember another passage, and we'll have a whole bunch that we could look at, God willing, today with the time. Paul also wrote a book to the Romans in Romans 8, verse 28. You guys know this one. It's a Christian memory verse. And we know all things work together for good. Okay, so you can read the context later on greater if you want. God's going to work together things in your life for good. You can't see it today, but later on, as you look back to the blessing of history, you can go, oh, that's why you didn't allow that. That's why you told me no, or this, that, and the other. Has anybody ever seen that in your life? As you look back on your life's trajectory, that might be how God got you here. Think about this. God's preparing you today for something tomorrow, but you just can't see it. I'm blind. Okay. We have the blessing of history now. So let's learn to listen to the Lord today, because He's got something later on. And when we're reading through a passage like this, I got to be at least caring enough to share with you that what occurs in one little verse would have taken a lot of time, because this covered a lot of geography. And when we get to the next verse, a similar thing. We're going to see God telling Paul no. The next verse, verse 7, God tells him no. And then later on, He's going to open door and show him why and what it is. So as we do, I believe when we're doing what we call expositional teaching and preaching throughout books of the Bible and going throughout the Bible, I believe the Holy Spirit put these passages, these paragraphs, and topic after topic divinely placed, so as we get out of one, we go right into the next, so God knows exactly who you are and what you're going through. So have your heart and mind open to this, let me just say. So as we pick up today, Paul's on his second missionary journey, and again, we learn that sometimes God says no. We see this in action here. Now, if you're taking notes, Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Here's how it worked for Paul. They started off, you guys remember, not very long ago in the scriptures. Remember, his second missionary journey only started last chapter, Acts 15, at verse 36. He's wanting to go and strengthen the churches. That's his purpose for this second missionary journey. They leave home church. For him was Antioch here on the right side, not the Antioch up there of Pisidia, but the one down here on the right on the map. They leave that area. They're going through the regions they had already preached the gospel through. They're wanting to come alongside and encourage and strengthen the churches and the people. Barnabas, we don't hear about him again in the Bible, but he takes his cousin John Mark and he goes Cyprus, where he's from. They go back home, that little island there. But Paul continues on. Now, he's going a little up north, And they're traveling through this region. He's going further now. Remember, Paul knows that he's the apostle, not to the Jews, but to who? To the Gentiles. So he's going to the Gentile world. This was an area that the gospel had not reached predominantly, at least by Paul. So he's continuing to go further. So sometimes you got God's call and his anointing and appointing on your life. It's like, hey, let's see how far this thing will go. I don't blame him for that. There's a lot of that in all of us, I think. So he's continuing further. He goes through this region of Phrygia and Galatia, as verse 6 tells us. But notice, God tells him no. But Paul, you can't go. You can't go preach the word in Asia. Now, what would be typically, predominantly, an okay thing for you and I, also commanded in the Gospels. Isn't that commanded by God? To preach the gospel? Hey, that sounds familiar. That's actually Mark chapter 16, I think it's verse 15, where Jesus says, in Mark's rendition, remember John Mark, he writes later on, John Mark's rendition of the gospel, or the, I should say, the Great Commission, is preach the gospel to all creation. So, you can't make disciples unless you preach the gospel to them, the good news of salvation. They got to get saved, and then you can disciple them. So this is good. It's actually commanded where God tells them, you can find this again in Mark chapter 16, Jesus says, go, and he also says, preach. But wait a second. Jesus, didn't you say to preach? But you tell Paul here, Acts 16, verse 16. Is God wishy-washy? Is he changing his mind? No. He even says in Scripture, he's not like a man that will change his mind. And his wisdom doesn't vary. There's no variation. There's no shadow of turning. He just says it, and it is. So he tells them, though, on one side, Mark 16, yeah, preach the gospel to all creation, but in Acts 16, don't preach there. He just was not God's appointed person at that time. And what this shows is a bunch of things, and I want you and I to consider this, that you and I need to be and stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Be and stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because Paul had this commandment, this commission to go preach the gospel to all creation. Hey, he was God's person, the apostle to the Gentiles. So it's like he already had the green light to go, but then he had to be sensitive to when God's given him a red light. You see, so God's got a calling upon each and every one of you. He does. But you and I, let's stay sensitive, though, that at times he might just say, not there and not now and not with you. Later on, but not there and not now and not with you. Later on, Paul would write to the church at Ephesus. We call that book, what? Ephesians. He's just not to go there now. So sometimes God says yes, but not now. Okay? Yeah, so this one is a no. You and I need to learn that sometimes God says no. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Real quickly, I just want to share that there was a time that occurred in my life when I remember working on staff at a church and being in the Bible College, is Calvary Chapel Bible College in California, and I made a whopping $500 a month before tax. Full time. And full time there at that time, working for that college. I mean, probably like 70, 80 hours a week. It was, and I loved it though. You would just wake up, ministry the whole time, and then sleep and wake up, and it was the whole time. So I grew like that, like a weed. It was really, really great. And one time the pastor had asked, and I remember I was working, my first job at that church was working with the missions group. And it was Safe Harbor International Relief. We were known for doing missions into South Sudan, dangerous area at that time. And it still is, kind of. But I was always wanting to go. And I would hear all these stories. I was part of the sending team. The people would come back, and I would imagine like their head kind of like glowing, like Moses coming down from the mountain, talking with God. They're just on fire. Like, oh, I saw the Lord. And they thought they were going to be a blessing to go out there and be, you know, this person to do missions from America and to help the natives. But they realized that they ministered to them more. And they came back really humbled. And I thought, wow, I love that look on them, that peace, that joy. They didn't care about, like, and this is California at that time, a very wealthy city, similar to how it is here in New York City. But I was always wanting to go. And so the pastor of that church pulled me aside after one of the services. He said, "Drew, I want you to pray about going with me to the next mission trip." And we all knew when the pastor would do that, it's kind of like, oh, okay, that's a free ticket. Because it would cost around $3,000 at that time. And we're talking, this is something like 25 years ago. I forget what year. It was way before I moved here. I moved here about 20 years ago. And we knew, okay, if he's going to ask you to go, he knew, obviously, I'm not making anything because working like $500 a month, you know, you don't make anything. You barely live. But I was a missionary at that time. And I was going to be the representative from the Bible College, and it was going to be free for me to go. I'm like, yes, that's my free ticket to go, yes. And I'm like, oh, but I got to pray. So I remember praying, and seriously praying, please God, can I go? I really want to go. Woo, it's my chance. It's going to be free. I can't afford it, God. And I get all excited about that. And then you know what God told me? He said, no. And I got really bummed out. I really did. I got bummed out. It's like, oh, come on. I started arguing with him. God ever tell you no on something and you try to argue with him? You try to make deals with him? Am I the only one? Come on. Okay, we're getting real now, right? Come on, God. You know that I don't have money and now it's my chance to go free. And I mean, he invited me to go for ministry and I was going to, you know, represent the Bible College and all this stuff. And oh, come on, this is my chance to go, God. You try to argue with God, right? Anybody here try to argue with God? Yes. You ever win? No, nobody does, right? And I remember just praying to him and talking to him and actually crying because I was really bummed out. Like, that's not fair. You know, having a tantrum with God. Has that ever happened to you guys? Yeah. Okay, I'm not the only one. Good. Kind of tantruming. God, that's not fair. I don't have money. I really, really wanted to go. It was, I think at that time, maybe a couple of years or so I wanted to go. And people would always ask me, because I'd be there working the missions group, are you going to go? How many times have you been? I haven't gone yet. You know, I don't have money. You know, all these things. And I didn't realize it's not the money. It's just God didn't want me there. I didn't know that he had something different prepared, like New York City, because of 9/11. I just didn't know. So God was telling me no, and I had to report this back to the pastor of the church, and my other friends, like the college, the other pastors, yeah, they couldn't believe that. They're like incredulous. What? It's just like a couple $1,000 free. You can go. We'll take care of everything. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I thank you for the offer, but I prayed and I believe God's telling me no. I really want to go though. And I just was bummed out. That's just where I was at. And then either the next day or really shortly after that, I remember sitting in the sanctuary, sitting next to my friend Brett, who was with the Bible College, and the pastor came forward at the pulpit, and before he started the midweek Bible study, he came up to give an announcement. And here's the announcement. Basically, he said, the missions trip that we were going to go to Sudan got canceled, because we just learned the government of Sudan was dropping chemical warfare on the people. And I remember thinking, like, everybody's freaking out, going, what? And they're hearing of the people, I guess, like, throwing up, blood coming out of their nose and all that kind of stuff. I think it was at that time, I believe, that Saddam Hussein was supposedly, I guess, manufacturing or testing some of the chemical warfare in Sudan, like on the people. And the government was allowing for some of that. Even the cattle was dying and so forth. So it was like dangerous. So they had to cancel the whole trip and the missions team. There's a bunch of people that were assigned to go. And I'm sitting in the sanctuary going, oh, I guess I got to listen to you, God. I didn't know at that time. And I want to share that with you because sometimes when God says no on something, for me it's minuscule. It's like this next to someone like Paul. But when God tells me no on something, I got to realize there's a better reason, there's a greater reason. I was bummed out. Let me just say point blank. A part of me was a little mad, a little upset. Right? And I had to get over it. I had my little self-pity party. But when the pastor came forward and stated that, I realized, started calculating right away because I'm kind of analytical. I'm like, whoa, I thank you, God. It went from being almost bitter, borderline bitter, to being glad. Because you got to know at the time, I didn't have money. I was living as a missionary in a friend's house even because I believe God sent me as a missionary to this city called Rancho Santa Margarita and then was there because God's wanted me to be on staff at the Bible College. Because, again, I didn't know that he was preparing me for this and to be here with you guys and to come to New York City on the East Coast. I never wanted to come here. This was God's plan. Now I love it. But he was preparing me. I didn't know at the time. So verse 6, Paul didn't know at the time. So God told him no. So when, not if, when God tells you no, and we're all praying to him on things, just be understanding. You might have to be experiential in your learning like I did, that sometimes when God tells you no, you might get bummed out or bitter. Like, I'm just telling you honestly, you guys are probably better than me. You'll probably handle it better than I would. But I was kind of bummed out and bitter in my heart. And then later on, I went from that bitterness to that blessing of being thankful. Because I started calculating right away, wait a second, if I would have just said yes and didn't pray or try to bypass God and then bypass his no and then just say yes, here's what would have happened. Financially, again, I wasn't making much money. A whopping $500 before tax. I barely had money for like gas and things like that. Financially, it would have set me, it would have kind of ruined a lot of things. Even at the Bible College on staff, I was teaching full-time on staff. I would have had to communicate to the main pastor there as well as the other teachers. They would have to take my classes and so forth. I would have had to communicate that. Where I was living as a missionary with some friends, I would have had to set things up differently there as well. It would have not just sidetracked, maybe ruined a lot of things in my life. Because that's just, I had like this much margin for error in the space for grace that I had because of my money and time on things. It was a very valuable, very important lesson that I had to actually choose to make. Because again, financially even, I looked at, hey, $3,000. Like, I don't get any money. Got no money. Sometimes I would walk just because I didn't want to waste the money on gas at that time, in that place. And I started balancing that. Like, okay, if I tell them no, look at this, it's like a free gift. That can't be from you, God. Obviously, it's got to be a yes and not a no. But it was very valuable. That was for me. Again, a minuscule way compared to someone like the Apostle Paul. So I was complaining, saying, Lord, that's not fair. You see, God had to train me to not just hear from him, to obey. That was a test. Even if I would have turned his no and try to, you ever, like, you're reading in the Word, or you're praying, or you just know flat out God's telling you something, and you try to ignore it, like the spoiled kid, like, talk to the hand, not the man, like, oh, I'm not going to listen to you, or like little kids, I don't hear you, cover your ears. Has that ever happened to you guys? Right? You try to ignore him. Even if I would have done that, you know what? I wouldn't have been able to go, and it would have probably trashed me in a couple areas of my life. It taught me an extremely important, valuable lesson. What is that? To not just learn how to hear from him, which we all got to do and be better at, but to obey. To obey is better than sacrifice, we learn. You find that in 1 Samuel. So in today's passage, we're going to find that it teaches us things like God's correction, not just God's direction. You see, when you and I read his word and we pray to the Lord, expect God's correction and God's direction. Oftentimes we pray, we come to him, and we're asking for the direction. God, what do you want me to do? Which choice is it going to be? Out of these two or three paths, which choice? We're looking for the direction, but oftentimes we're not looking first for the correction. And that occurs for all of us. We're all guilty of that, and God knows our frame, how we're made. But don't you know that the Bible actually is listed this way? These are God's principles. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A lot of times we're looking for the light to our path, the direction. But first he tells us, God's word is a lamp to my feet. He's going to show me. He's going to use his word to illuminate myself. Am I in sin? Do I need to change things? It's a constant life of repentance, isn't it? Or else I'm never going to learn anything new from God. Think about that. Thy word's a lamp to my feet. You're going to use your word to show me. And a light to my path second. And now, once you correct things, now I can walk. Oh, that's your godly order of things. So we see here, though, in verse 6, that the Holy Spirit wouldn't let Paul preach the word of God in Asia. Although he was commanded and commissioned, and really the main apostle the only one that we're seeing in the Bible that was commanded and commissioned to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And yet God told him no. But I'll tell you guys, at this point in time, as we get to Acts 16, verse 6, Paul had already been conditioned and trained by the Holy Ghost to know how to hear and how to obey. And you and I could only study this and go, wow, this guy wasn't just growing. This guy was very mature. Help us, help me, Lord, to be like this. Amen? We all need to. May this be your prayer. God, help me to learn from the Apostle Paul here. So you and I must also remain sensitive to the fact that in some cases, in some places, God may tell you no. Although he's already commanded, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16. Stay sensitive to the fact that Acts 16, no. We need to, okay? You might simply be the wrong person at that place at that time. And we know when you track the life and history of Paul, that's all it was. Because later on, he would write to the church at Ephesus and these other areas. So we need to always count on these things. And then even if you're taking notes, you probably already know this, Romans 8, verse 28, know and count on that God's going to work it out for good in the end. Romans 8, 28 teaches us, quote, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. You guys love God. To those who are the called according to his purpose. You have to live out your life. You're calling according to his purpose, not yours. And this is what we see with the Apostle Paul. Let's continue on here. In the very next verse, this is verse 7. Here's what we see. After they had come to Mysia, it says, they tried to go into Bithynia. Wait a second. But the Spirit did not permit them? Some of your translations might say the Spirit of Jesus. Wait a second, God. You told them, and keep in mind, this is the Holy Spirit. This is not like an appearance of Jesus. It's not a writing on the wall like we see in Daniel's book. It's not a burning bush like Moses saw exterior. The Holy Spirit. So what does this probably greatly show you and I? We don't know how he spoke, but according to the context of the entirety of the Bible and what Paul had already grown accustomed to, because we see chapters earlier, remember the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, it says, said unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work I have called them. And they fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, and it says the Holy Spirit sent them out. We learned about that chapters earlier on the first missionary journey. So God lives within us. We have to learn how to hear from him. So it says here, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, okay, that's up there up north, but the Holy Spirit or the Spirit did not permit them. Yep, right there. Thank you. So check this out. They went through these regions called Phrygia and Galatia. They weren't allowed to go south or southwest, if you say. So pretty logical. Okay, we kept going this way. They kept going west. You won't allow us to go south now into the Asia Minor area. You won't allow us to go north into Bithynia. Okay, not rocket science. Which way do we go, God? So which way do you think they're going to go? They started from the east. They weren't allowed to go south to Asia. They weren't allowed to go north into Bithynia. West. So what did they continue to do? They continued to go west. So again, Mark 16 mentions go into all the world. Go, it says, into all the world and preach. Go, preach. But they were told, don't preach in Asia, don't go to Bithynia. So although you're given the command and the Great Commission and you need to preach, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And predominantly, how does he speak? Within. We learn in John's Gospel that all three, Father, Son, and Spirit, come to live, abide, reside, dwell within you. You could also check this out in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul writes, don't you know you're a temple of the Holy Spirit? God himself comes to live within you. And as he lives within you and I, he'll speak to you. What seems to be, and we don't know exactly how he spoke here, because it's nondescript, it seems to be at least an internal confirmation that God is telling them. Not your flesh. Okay, please understand. Not your conscience, not your will, but the will of God as shown through the Holy Spirit. And we're told specifically, you can look this up in the original language. Verse 6, the Holy Spirit didn't allow them. He forbid them. Verse 7, the Spirit did not permit them. So my question for you today as we go through this is, are you ready like Paul? Are you willing like Paul? Are you ready, willing, and able to surrender to your will that the will of God would be done? That's a real deal question. Because as we read this, you might go, oh, this is nice. Read one verse, go to the next one. But these are people that I'm sure they're like you and me. They get frustrated, right? Okay, God, we're covering a large area of territory. We're doing this because you told us to go preach the gospel to all creation. And you're commissioning, like imagine yourself as Paul, the apostle. The apostle is the Gentiles. I'm in the Gentile part of the world. These people, they don't know you out here. They got these statues and they're trying to worship you. They don't know you, God. And yet, he had to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit telling him no. No, don't preach there. And no, don't go there. And yet, it was to continue to go west. So what you need to do is ask yourself, am I ready, am I willing, am I able to die to my life's plans? That the Holy Spirit's plans can direct you, that he could speak to you and you would obey. If so, then my encouragement to you is that you and me, that we would fully surrender to the Holy Spirit, that he could do that work, that he could show you his plan. But don't be surprised if he tells you no. Your plan, that ain't good. Again, man can plan his steps, but God wants to guide you. This happens over and over to us. So you need to fully surrender to the Holy Spirit. Before we go further, I want to show you this, because we're calling this today the Holy Spirit as umpire. Colossians 3, verse 15. You could turn there if you wish, but I do want to display this on the screen so you can see this, and even for you guys online. Hey, guys, welcome. You guys could see this. So it says here, this guy Paul, who, remember, he wasn't allowed to go to that area. Later on, he would write, do you see Colossae? Later on, he would write this book called Colossians. And what does he know? Writing to the area where the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go preach there, bro. He would write to them later on. Colossians 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. This much we know. The Apostle Paul had to have great experiential knowledge, not just head knowledge, great experiential knowledge, and probably a lot of history, in knowing how to detect the Holy Spirit. Like an umpire, that he's going to give you peace or the lack of. Now, what would you call the lack of peace? Some would say it with different words in English. What's that? Anxiety. When we look at it, Philippians chapter 4, there's a great teaching on that. Difference between anxiety and peace. Okay. What's that?
No.
A no? Some would say also this way, that it's like having chaos. Okay. Or the absence of God's peace. In the world, they'll say the peace is the absence of war. Okay. People not shooting each other. Peace in New York City on the streets would mean gangs stop shooting each other. That's not the peace of God that the Bible is describing. And Jesus even says in John's gospel, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So there's a worldly kind of peace. There's a peace that your flesh thinks is what you're after. But the peace of God, this is a spiritual peace. The same kind of peace that Jesus had to go to a cross and die for your sins, allowing the Roman whip to rip open his back like hamburger meat, and to allow nails to pierce through him to die on the cross for your sins. Although you did the sin, and he was innocent. He had peace, spiritual peace, to do that for you. That's the same kind of peace he wants to give you. And here's what it says when you're making a decision. This is a spiritual lifesaver, so to speak. And let the peace of God rule. This word for rule, you can look it up. You can Blue Letter Bible it. You can go in the Bible dictionaries. Thayer's says rule, this word means to be an umpire. That's why I'm showing this picture. To decide or determine, to direct, control, rule. But God, I want control, is what you might say. That's called the flesh. And the flesh and the Holy Spirit, they're at enmity. They're at war with each other. Like two bulls crashing, or two rams, boom, fighting with each other. Who's got to win? The Holy Spirit is showing you that through the scriptures, Colossians 3:15, he's like the umpire. I looked this up even on Major League Baseball, at MLB.com. If you look up the definition of umpire, what they say, umpires are responsible for enforcing on-field rules and rendering decisions on judgment calls such as whether a batter or base runner is safe or out, and whether a pitched baseball is a strike or a ball. So guys, the umpire in baseball calls the shots. This is the word in Greek that Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, to the church, which you and I can also incorporate as individuals, and let the peace of God rule. Do you know you have to let? You have to go with it. You have to surrender. You have to obey. How many of us know that? When God's showing you the peaceful path, you know that? God's showing you the peaceful path. You're praying, God, use my life. Have you ever prayed that? God, direct me. We're praying for, oftentimes, again, God's direction. But are we willing to accept, at times he might correct us. No, don't go preach there in Asia. No, don't go up there to Bithynia. Allow for, you have to let, Colossians 3, verse 15, let the peace of God rule. So I'm going to show you this, because at this point in time, as we touch upon this topic, sometimes it's good for us to look at this. Because again, sometimes God says no, not just in your prayer life. When you get up in the morning here in New York City and you go in your prayer closet, or you get on your knees, or you're on the bus or subway and you're reading maybe on a Bible app, or you take the Bible with you, you're praying, you're letting God speak to you. Sometimes he says no. But you might be on a missionary trip like Paul was, maybe to this region, or maybe going to the next borough. God might do that with you. But be sensitive and open to the fact that sometimes he doesn't just say yes. Sometimes he says no. And if you're in prayer and you're like, because I've had people, and I love talking about this topic, how to hear the voice of God. Sometimes you'll have that question, but I don't hear from him. How does he speak? Is it going to be like in the book of Exodus, an external burning bush, like he did with Moses? Is it going to be like in the book of Daniel, a hand appearing, many, many tekel opharsin, it says that. It was the writing on the wall. These days, in the New Covenant time, after Acts chapter 1, you never see, after they cast lots, Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when they wanted to discern the voice of God, the will of God, the way of God, it went from an external thing to more of a, what, an internal one. You never see them casting lots, which is like an external way. And we know that there's only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We go to him. You don't need to go to a high priest or to a pope or pray to a dead statue. Amen? We don't do that. God now lives within. And so you and I today in this New Testament time, what was promised and prophesied in the Old Testament time is that we call the indwelling. God would indwell the person. In Hebrews chapter 8, we learn, as he quotes from Jeremiah's book, all will know me, from least to the greatest. How will we get to know God when we're predominantly Gentiles now here, at least in this church? And in order for me to detect and know God's will, they had to go and sacrifice or go to a priest or go consult God in some external way. Because in this New Testament time, he comes to live within the Christian. Praise God, amen, that we don't have to go to Jerusalem and sacrifice. You can't. It's impossible because there's no temple. There's no priesthood. There's no Ark of the Covenant. There's no way to do that. So God comes to indwell the Christian, and he wants to gently guide you, to direct and to correct you. But we got to be good and get better and better and keep learning. I'm still learning. So again, sometimes God says no. But how do we detect? If you're one of those, like how I am, like, sometimes God doesn't speak directly to my heart, so to speak. First of all, you always, 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 always check, vet, filter everything through the Word of God. You're taking notes, Acts 17, the next chapter. They're going to go into a region called Berea. Acts 17, verse 11, the Holy Spirit teaches us. that the Bereans, they were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why? For they received the word with eagerness, but they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They checked out Paul the Apostle's doctrine. But what did they weigh it against? The scriptures, the Bible. So you and I need to filter everything through the Word of God. Amen? We need to. We must. Okay, don't just, someone comes to you, oh, God put on my heart, God told me this. Oh, according to Scripture, 1 Thessalonians says, I need to test all things. 1 John 4 says, don't believe the spirits, but test them to see if they're from God or not. Acts 17, verse 11 teaches you and I, okay, I need to be a Berean. Search the Scriptures daily to see if these things are so. So as you and I filter everything through the Bible, the will of God will line up with the Word of God. Amen? We need to know that. But sometimes you and I are praying and we're pondering or wondering, okay, God, when you're not speaking, giving me like a verbal kind of a clue within my heart, or you're not confirming things in the Word, how do I know? So I know where to go. Look for His peace. And let me just say, never violate the peace that the Holy Spirit gives you. And remember, as Jesus said in John's Gospel, the peace of God that Jesus gives is a spiritual peace, but it's not like peace in the world. So in the world, or even worldly Christians, if that's a term, what's some of the peace that the world will say is peace? What are some things? Money. Right? That's good. A lot of us as Christians, we take a worldly method and mindset and we try to think, okay, God, this must be yours because this is the one that makes me those money. It may not necessarily be that. But that's, you know, that most of the time new Christians, they come to Christ and that's exactly what they look for. Oh, this must be your will for me to get that job. This one has a lot. I had to kill that one actually when I went to the work at the Bible College. Just like, you know, work like a slave for $500 before tax. That was a challenge. I had a bunch of my Christian friends rebuke me too, because I went from, you know, earning a lot of money as a computer tech to earning almost nothing.
Being an under-rower.
The under-rower, yeah, right? Like in the slave ships. So what are some other ways that the world will say, you know, is peace? Because obviously there's a difference between worldly peace and the peace that God gives. Money is one way the world decides. What? Through drugs? Okay. Some people, that's a weird way to obtain peace, but some people, I guess, can. Okay. All right. So there's a lot of things. Just know that there is a worldly kind of peace, but Jesus says, not as the world gives do I give to you. There's a peace that Jesus wants to give, that it will abide in you, remain with you. And we see through the lens of something like Colossians 3:15, look for God's peace. He'll guide you. Look for the absence of peace, or some might say chaos. I remember that old TV show, danger, danger, that He might give that to the heart. How many of you guys know that can happen? He might, like the ringing, He might kind of, He'll does that to your heart, to your soul. How many of you guys know that? Okay, you get chaos sometimes, the absence of peace. Remember, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. So He'll give you comfort to show you spiritual comfort. And the absence of His comfort when He's trying to show you, don't go there, bro. Don't go there, sister. Right? Right? The absence of His peace. He's a helper, so He'll help you to do His will. And what'll happen if you don't do His will? You go without His help. You can still do it and get it done many times. But later on, you might birth, like what Abraham and Sarah had, an Ishmael. A problem child. Not just a problem child, a problem. A work in the flesh. And later on, God even tells Abraham, take your son, Genesis 22, take your son, your only son, whom you love, offer him up. And Abraham could have been, wait a minute, I have a son. My son right now, that's Ishmael. God didn't acknowledge a work of the flesh. Anything you do that's not something that God called you to do and wasn't where God wanted you to be, for Paul at that time, it would have been Asia or Bithynia. At that time, would have been sin. It would have been a work of the flesh. The comforter wouldn't give him comfort. The helper would not have helped him. And he put his life, as well as the other missionaries, in danger. This is what you and I have to contend with as Christians. Okay, so we have to be careful of that. All right, so let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I just want us to look at that. So passing by Mysia or Mysia, they came to down to Troas. I'm going to have to close this out here in a bit. So if you look here again on the map, they couldn't go south to Asia to preach the gospel there. They couldn't go up north to Bithynia. So what did they do? They kept going west, and they went to the coast. They went to an area called Troas. When you see this, when you read it, it's like it doesn't make sense. But you see it on a map, you're like, okay, now that makes sense. Has God ever led you or put you or allowed you to be in a place where you're back kind of like in the corner? You're like, okay, God, I painted myself into a corner now. Well, now where do I go? This seems to be where the Apostle Paul is now at in verse 8. Passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Verse 10 says, now after he had seen the vision, immediately, notice the pronoun, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now some, or actually many people say that in verse 10, because the pronoun changes and says, we sought to go, the Lord had called us, that this is probably the time, verse 10, where now Luke, Dr. Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, started to go with Paul on this missionary journey, because the pronoun, the focus changes. But sometimes when God brings you to a dead end, like Paul was at Troas, now God's got you in that place where he's got your attention. You can't go down south to Asia, you can't go up north to Bithynia. He's all this time wanting to take you and maybe break you before he can make you. And now he's got you in your Troas, so to speak. Okay, Lord, now I'm open for your next steps. I don't know where I can go. The water's right here. You got me backed up in the corner. And we see that, and I'm not saying it's going to happen that way all the time, but as a metaphor, it might. So now God's giving him a vision of what we call the man of Macedonia. Paul, you weren't to be the apostle to go to Asia Minor, what we call today Turkey. But Paul, you didn't know until God was going to reveal later on in life that he wanted you to be the one to go to Europe. Oh, I wish you would have told me that early on. Anybody ever pray like that to God? He reveals something in step two, but you wanted that in step one. You may not get that in step one. That's my point. So we can learn from the Apostle Paul. Again, it's awesome to be able to see maps like this because you can see that, oh, it must have been a long time that occurred here. We're going to have to just close here because of time. And we're just going to close out this time and pray. So can we all stand, please? And I just want to encourage you that you would be ready, you would be willing, you'd be able to surrender to the Holy Spirit, that as you pray, be open and available, that sometimes he tells you no. And you don't know it today, like how Paul was there. God told him, no, I don't want you to go preach the word in Asia. But God, I thought you told me. Or on top of that, he might tell you like the Apostle Paul, no, I don't want you to go up north to Bithynia. But maybe he's trying to get you to go along a certain trajectory. And then when he gets you to a place where now he's got your attention, maybe then, maybe not today, but maybe then tomorrow, he could reveal his plan for your next steps. And Paul didn't know till later on that he would now be the apostle to go and start to pave that path into Europe. And we'll read about that as time goes on. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your holy word. Thank you, God, as we read here, that we can learn from someone like the Apostle Paul. Help us to learn, God, how you will guide, how you will direct. The Holy Spirit is director. The Holy Spirit also, though, as the corrector, the one who, like an umpire, is going to call the shots. Like in baseball, we're not to argue with your calls. Forgive me, Lord. You know how I have done that. And oh, I thank you for how you've schooled me, and you still do, Lord. But like I know nothing next to you. And that's the case. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you that you're the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And we ask, God, that you can inspire and encourage us as we see and study the life of someone like the Apostle Paul as he went on his missionary journeys here in Acts. That we need to learn to hear from you so that we could detect your peace that passes understanding, your peace that will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And as you say in Colossians 3, verse 15, help us, God, to be humble and to surrender to your Spirit, that we could let your peace rule, to be that umpire in our hearts, so that we would not force you into our will, but that we would surrender, that you would have your will done. So, Lord, we surrender ourselves to you. Have your way in us. Strengthen us, empower us by your Spirit, God, and help us to hear from you and to comply and obey. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.